Obama hits the campaign trail as Republicans head to New Hampshire.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Mitt Romney eked out a victory in the Iowa caucus last night, edging out Rick Santorum by just 8 votes. Candidates now move to New Hampshire to duke it out in a primary there. President Obama is off on the campaign trail as well. He'll be speaking just outside Cleveland today. Ohio is an important swing state in the election and has also been the site of a major union battle. Last November, unions scored a big win for collective bargaining rights. Is organized labor an election year issue? Jeff Tyler has that story.
Public sector workers like firefighters and teachers campaigned last November to overturn a new law limiting collective bargaining. And they succeeded. But was this really a sign of greater union influence? Greg R. Lawson is a policy analyst with the conservative Buckeye Institute. He says the influence of labor is limited to public sector unions.
There's not necessarily any evidence that shows that the private sector unions are kind of having this massive renaissance.
Mike Podhorzer, political director of the AFL-CIO, disagrees.
I've never seen a time when there's as much enthusiasm and unity within the labor movement to fight back on these things.
Fighting back requires money for things like advertising. Roger Geiger is with the Ohio chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business. He says it's tough for small businesses to raise funds compared to organized labor.
They have a huge built-in advantage, and that is that they can use union dues for political purposes.
Money from outside Ohio is expected to flow to the state from both sides in this battle. Professor John Russo studies labor at Youngstown State University. He says labor unions don't have to match their opponents' fundraising efforts dollar for dollar.
I think that the manpower that organized labor has, together with all the community groups, make it very difficult for the Republicans to win.
But he says it will be close. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Overseas markets are mixed this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.1%. Germany's DAX is down 0.4%. And mama, don't take my Kodachrome off the New York Stock Exchange. Kodak just got a warning from the NYSE that it will get booted off the big board if it can't boost its average stock price over $1 a share. U.S. markets made a strong showing yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.4% to close at 12,397. Several European countries will stage big bond auctions today. Much of the drama of Europe's debt crisis has played out on the bond market, as governments like Italy and Spain have tried to borrow, and investors have made their feelings plain, demanding higher and higher interest rates. Today, it's Germany's turn. It's aiming to borrow $6.5 billion. Joining us now live to talk about this is our own Stephen Beard in London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
Stephen, Germany's economy has remained strong, even as Greece and other European countries have struggled. Will they have any trouble selling bonds?
No. Germany is one of Europe's most creditworthy nations. It's likely to borrow all it needs today and at a pretty low rate of interest, around about the American, super cheap American rate, around 1.9%. However, compare that with the 7% plus that Italy now has to pay, more than three times Germany's rate. And, of course, paying so much interest makes it more difficult for Italy to pay off its debts.
Right. But isn't Germany suffering like the rest of Europe in this debt crisis?
No, far from it. In fact, it's benefited. As investors have steered clear of lending to the likes of Italy, Spain, Greece and other southern European countries, that money has to go somewhere. The investors have ploughed it into Germany instead. And that, of course, has made it easier and cheaper for Germany to borrow. Barry Bosworth is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and an advisor to President Carter. He told me Germany has also profited from the declining euro.
If you're a German businessman or worker even, you think this crisis is kind of a good thing. It improves your competitiveness by driving down the price of the euro and making European goods more attractive in world markets.
And since Germany is by far the biggest exporter in the eurozone, it's benefited the most. You can really see the stark contrast between the fortunes of Germany and its weaker European partners in the unemployment figures. Germany's just announced an unemployment rate of 6.8%, a 20-year low, while Spain has reported its unemployment rate has now reached 23%.
Wow. Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
Well, here...
American Public Media announces the Splendid Tables new book, How to Eat Weekends, with dozens of new recipes, now available at bookstores nationwide.
It's been a pretty mild winter so far in much of the country. There hasn't been a lot of snow. Balmy temperatures have left the upper Midwest drier than normal. And that's been a mixed economic blessing for places like Ohio. From WCPN in Cleveland, Brian Bull has more.
So far, road crews and plows have had it easy, compared to last winter's thick snowdrifts and blizzards. Brent Kovacs of the Ohio Department of Transportation says so far, the state has used roughly 20,000 tons of salt on roads.
Compared to this time last year, we used approximately 202,000 tons of salt. That is about a relative savings of more than $11 million in salt alone, statewide.
That's dollars many local governments could use these days. But not everyone's giddy about the sparse winter.
You're making me cry.
Guy Naren is a racing coach with a high-rise ski club in Cleveland. A major race this weekend could be jeopardized by warming temperatures. Naren says he's also concerned about the resort where the event is supposed to be held.
They probably make maybe a third of their revenue right before Christmas, right after New Year's, and that's certainly got to hurt them quite a bit.
After this week's snowfall, Cleveland has about 10 inches. Less than two-thirds the seasonal average. In Cleveland, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And finally, your morning routine is about to get a little more expensive. Starbucks is raising prices again. A 1% price hike will hit customers in the Northeast and Southwest and will mean a 12-ounce cup of coffee costs about 10 cents more. And the New York Times will charge New Yorkers about 50 cents more on newsstands. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The economy's better, but still not great, and it affects all of us, of course, but also countries that are far, far away.
We then had 2.4 million people in crisis. The prices had doubled, and the outlook was not good.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the macroeconomics of food aid, and the news from Wall Street as well. And that's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.